Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hello.
Hello, it's Erin Barnes. Is this Melissa?
This is.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. I've been waiting a really long time to say that. hey, tell us, first of all, tell us your name and where you work and what you do.
Melissa Kenobi, and I'm the Secondary Curriculum Director for Clinton Public Schools.
Awesome. And are you a big Star Wars fan, or did it just happen to work out that way?
A huge Star Wars fan.
Well, with that name, I mean, in the play, yes, you have to. All right. Well, standards-based grading. What do you think about the Twitter chat? Did it go as well as you hoped?
It went well, and the only thing for me was that I didn't get to participate much because I was busy trying to keep it on track, so that was different.
It's so hard, isn't it? Is this your first Twitter chat to...
It was.
Awesome, and what did you think about that?
I think I'll do it again, probably not soon. It took me a while to come up with questions and that kind of thing. That was a lot more planning than I had anticipated.
Did you use anybody there at Clinton who's hosted chats before as a source for coming up with questions?
I talked to Vanessa Perez and some of the other people on our standards-based grading team because we're new to that process, so they had things that they wanted to find out as well. So I used a few of the people on my committee for that.
And so, I don't know, are you allowed to share, like, what are some of their questions now that you're kind of into it?
Mostly looking at what we want to use as evidence for meeting those standards.
Okay.
That's where the big discussion is happening right now. We do have two buildings that have rolled in those report cards, and that's where they're having the most kind of discussion, the most issues about getting agreement and that kind of thing for it.
So, I mean, obviously you guys probably reached out to your families and such first saying, hey, we're going to try to make this switch. Are you still using an ABCDEFG report card system or, you know, a percentage, report card system, or what's that look like now?
Through pre-K through fourth grade, it has the standard listed and a key that says what a 1, a 2, and a 3 means.
Okay.
And they're rating the standard mastery on that key. From fifth grade up, we're still on an A through F style report card that's more traditional, but we're writing at the fifth and sixth grade level next year and then rolling it into that building the year after.
Excellent. And so, man, I just had a question as you were saying that and it left me. So fifth and sixth grade is standards-based grading, or they're not and will be?
They're not yet, but they will be.
Okay.
Our district wrote a strategic plan 2 years ago that we're in our first year of implementation this year, and last year we finished the writing of it. And one of the initiatives is standards-based grading pre-K through 12th grade. So we're rolling that in. We started with our younger buildings because they're used to a standards-based kind of approach with the satisfactory, unsatisfactory, and needs improvement kind of grading. So those parents are kind of used to seeing that, but they're not necessarily used to seeing all of the data that goes into arriving at that grade.
Yeah.
But it was a more natural fit through those grade levels. So we started with pre-K through fourth in those two buildings, and then the fourth grade teachers are going to help us roll it up with the fifth grade teachers in the fall.
Nice.
For the writing process, and the fifth grade teachers will roll it up to the sixth graders writing in the spring, and then they'll implement the following year. So we know that we need to have those pre-discussions with the next grade levels up about what evidence of learning means mastery and what evidence of learning means they still have a little work to do to get there.
Right. It's so hard when people still want to see those percentages and grades. But I mean, this is one, I'll be honest, I am insanely passionate about. We had a principal with us at Epic last year who kind of helped create a standards-based grading gradebook. And I mean, that's, were you in the session at, gosh, I can't speak. Were you in the session at Ed Camp OKC where I showed that?
I was, and you were generous and shared that with us, so I have hoarded that sucker. We've made copies of it, and I've got people on the committee are going to be taking a look at it when we meet next.
Well, and obviously it's not perfect. There are still things that I think need to be, like, I'd love to be able to have it also house the digital portfolio. I mean, I'm using the Google Drive and each student gets their own folder right now, because I always, like, I'm always worried if somebody says, you said this kid had this grade, but we can't, you know, where are you getting that from? No, I've got it right here. The only thing I hate about this is it more openly identifies how much I loathe standardized tests.
Right.
Because there are standards that are zero level standards, right? They're tested at, they're not tested. But those standards are honestly some of the more real world standards. I mean, the speaking and listening, the presenting standards, and those will never get tested on, but I've got kids that can prove so much through, you know, their presentations. But when it comes to picking A, B, C, D, on a test, it just doesn't come across the same, and it's frustrating to me.
Yes.
Sorry, this is your interview, not mine. I apologize. I get so passionate. So, okay, so you're year one in. What are some of the struggles you guys have come across, other than you know, some of the ones you've already said, or what are some of the rewards you've seen?
Struggle-wise, I think looking at where the power standards are for us, because there, when you unpack a standard, there's more in it, especially when we're looking at like ELA and math, there's more in it than you can get a herd of, or a group of, you know, 140 kids at the high school level or 30 kids at the elementary level to all get to that level, that high level of mastery. They're all going to grow, but they may not all get to the place that you want them to be, given how much there is within that. So that's been, the struggle has been, where do we focus? On the positive side, when I've talked to the elementary principal that's helping to pilot this, he's noticed that at parent-teacher conferences, you know, the first one, when they first rolled out those grades, parents really wanted to still see the letter grades.
Yes.
They're used to seeing. But by the second one, when they had those communication pieces in place and they could say, okay, look, they were at a one at the beginning of the year when we spoke in, you know, late September, and now here we are in February and they're at a two and they're approaching a three. And so they're seeing that growth, and the conversations are focusing on growth.
I love it. In putting on this chat, were you looking to get answers to any of your questions? Like, were there any that you put out there because you're like, man, I just want to know how other people are doing it?
Yes, the one on evidence was the big one for me. How are they having those discussions? How are they deciding? We're also moving into a true TLC model for our district, and so that's going to be key for us. So I really wanted to glean from people how that's having, because I know there are departments that make those decisions even if they're not doing standards-based grading. So just getting some of those opinions about how they set that, how they had those conversations was important for me.
Yeah, no kidding. Were there any answers that just shocked you or stood out in any way? Or have you ever...
That was shocking, or to me that stood out. I just felt like it was really good discussion. There were a lot of people in that chat that were at the same place we were. Either they were thinking about using it in their own classrooms or their districts were starting to have those conversations. I think in general, what stood out to me was how few people really understood what standards-based grading was when we started.
Yes. How do I frame this into a question? Okay, so and I'll get into it in the podcast too, I'm sure, because I just really am passionate here. It's crazy to me how many kids get moved on that could have easily used a few more months of school, and how many people get held back that if they had just been given a few more months of school. How does standards-based grading, in your opinion, with the promotion or holding back process, you know, retention process, does it help your conversations, or is it another piece for that conversation? Do you think you'll hold more kids back? I don't know. There are probably like 15 questions wrapped up right there in promotion and retention. What do you guys, have you had any conversations about that?
I haven't been a party to those. Those are typically building level decisions, and that's only been rolled out in buildings that I'm not in all that much contact with. But as I'm looking at those kinds of processes, if we're gathering the evidence and preserving the evidence of student learning, I think it would certainly make those decisions easier to justify.
Right. I mean, right. I love it. I love it in that it really identifies kids and where they're at. But it is also hard when you, because I did this last year. This is my second year, and it's just, you know, my husband and I co-teach. It's just the two of us kind of doing it. But it really helps those families see that either they're ready, or we just need a few more months here. Maybe we can do a little summer school. Maybe, you know, stuff like that. It's helped us tremendously as far as promotion and retention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what are some of your passions right now outside of standards-based grading?
Are we talking on a personal level or from an education standpoint?
Let's go both. Go start personal, and then let's get into a passion from the EDU side.
Okay. On a personal side, my biggest passion outside of my job is working in ceramics.
Ooh.
I have a little tiny pottery studio, and that is where I find my zen.
All right. What kind of stuff do you like to make?
Functional. Anything that's usable. So I work primarily in high fire stoneware, and I make things that have a use. So I made the set of dishes that I sent to my new daughter-in-law for Christmas.
That is so awesome.
My son had been requesting that I make some for him when he was a single guy out on the West Coast. He's in the Marines, and he wanted something that was, you know, from home. So I made him, you know, just a couple of plates and bowls and coffee mugs. And his wife liked them so much once they got married that she asked for a set. So they now have a set.
Oh, my word. That is wicked awesome.
And that was my entry point into education. I taught art for a long time. And that's probably the thing that I miss the most in my new position, is that I'm not having that contact with kids and teaching art to young people, and those kinds of functional pieces where they can have something that they can use when they're done.
But I love that you're still doing and creating. And so that's awesome. Well, what are some of your passions in EDU?
I'm kind of a data junkie, but I'm also a school climate, school culture kind of junkie, and that's where the data piece comes in for me. So when I was teaching in Montana, our district was a PBIS district, and the state of Montana has the Montana Behavioral Initiative, and it's statewide, so they get member schools to come in and work on that, and that was something I enjoyed. In my district, I was on the district team and the state team doing things like common expectations in common areas, where you're working on everybody being on the same page about what we want our students to do, how we want them to behave, things that we want them to know about. You know, how do we stand in line at the water fountain? And we think kids know those things, but they don't if we don't teach them.
Right, right. So do you have processes for that? I mean, do you have, do you practice this a lot in Clinton before, you know, as school gets rolling out?
Not too much yet, but it's a drum I'm still banging.
Awesome. I can't wait. And so, school culture, school climate. If, as far as I can tell, right, I've only been to Clinton once, and it was for a conference they put on a couple of years ago. Everybody loves it. Well, everybody, all the teachers love it out there. I think that that speaks very highly of your district. What is it that people love? What makes the culture so amazing out there?
I think we're very well supported. I've taught other places, and this is the highest level of support I've seen for teaching staff and for students. You know, the one thing that we want all of our kids to do is have 100% of our kids walk across the stage at the end of our time here and graduate and be able to do whatever comes next for them. And that's a uniting passion for us. It, you know, things like our, you know, we've got sports teams that do well, and that doesn't hurt when you're talking about school culture and people wanting to be somewhere. I've taught places where that wasn't the case. You can have a losing tradition as well as you can have a winning one, and it's not hard to get there. So that helps the climate issue, but we try as much as possible to be like a family when we're here. So much so that one of our elementary principals doesn't have staff meetings, they have family meetings.
Aww.
When they have their weekly. So that just trying to get that culture where it's not just administrators supporting teachers, but teachers supporting each other and understanding that our primary focus is to get those kids where they need to be to do whatever comes after.
I love it. I love it. Who are some of your heroes in education right now and why?
Rick Formley, because he sort of was my introduction into standards-based grading, and he lives what he preaches out there, and has been more than willing to share. I've had personal contact with him after a conference where I had a question, and he just, you know, within 24 hours has fired back an answer. So that's been really great. And then Vanessa Perez, and I get to work with her every day. So that's a joy.
She is seriously like an inspiration. And I have never seen a media specialist put as much content out as I see her. Mm-hmm. And she truly loves her kids and truly like embraces their creativity and throws it out on the Twitter. And I just love it. I love her.
Yes. And she is, she's an inspiration, and she's not afraid to challenge you on things either, which is nice, because we need people who are willing to do that.
Absolutely. Well, I truly look forward to another chat with you. I can't wait to see what else you have to come up with. And I guess until then, I'll catch you on the Twitters.
Alrighty.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.